Hello and welcome to Babbel Talk. Babbel Talk is available on Anchor, iTunes and Spotify. Babbel Talk is a podcast where we babble. Sometimes we do it with a guest and sometimes we do it alone. And today I am once again doing it alone. So as you can probably tell by the title of this episode, if you watched or if you listened to the previous episode where I mentioned that I might do an episode with a guest talking about life transitions. Obviously, if I'm here by myself, then I haven't got around to it. It is, like I said in the last episode, it is something I want to, I would like to do eventually. It's just something that I couldn't get around to yet. I actually think it would be something, it would be like an interesting episode to do like a two-parter on. I was thinking this, part one could be, to give some context, if you haven't listened to the last episode, basically, I'm in this really weird transition right now where I have to wait a year to go to university. So I was thinking of talking about that with a guest who is about to go to university, because it's two different people in two life transitions that are very different, because I'm in a life transition right now where I finished education, I'm taking a year out, so I'm in like this weird limbo period, which is kind of scary. And then the guest will be somebody who's basically moving their entire fucking life somewhere else because they're going to university. So I think it would be a good two-parter, in terms of part one being before the person goes to university and part two being after a while after they've went. So you can kind of compare the two. Also, I was just thinking this earlier today before I started recording. Every time I say Babbel Talk is available on Anchor, iTunes, and Spotify, when I say iTunes, I mean Apple Podcasts. But the domain for Apple Podcasts always redirects you from iTunes. So I just say iTunes because it flows better as a sentence. If I were to say Anchor, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, it's a bit of a tongue twister and the sentence itself doesn't flow as well. Whereas if I just say iTunes, it's more straightforward. You know what I mean when I say iTunes. Oh, iTunes is the Apple thing, you know? That's pretty much all I had to say about that. Also, this has nothing to do with this episode whatsoever. It's something I found out legit 10 minutes ago, and I think it's fucking hilarious. KFC, the food chain, the fast food restaurant that specializes in fried chicken. KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. The mascot, Colonel Sanders. KFC have taken it upon themselves to make a Japanese style, and I should preface this by saying that KFC is extremely popular in Japan. I know this because I know a lot about Japan. KFC in Japan, in terms of like Christmas, at least, in terms of Christmas in Japan, there's no religious connotation towards Christmas in Japan. It's legit just materialize, like material things, if that makes sense. So you can order your Christmas dinner in Japan from KFC. You have to order it a couple of months in advance, but it's like a legit, it's a legit Christmas dinner. Can you imagine that being done by KFC in Western culture? Because by all accounts, KFC over here isn't the greatest. You know, you watch advertisements about KFC, and a lot of the time advertisements show the chicken and the chicken's super dry, and then you actually go to KFC and it's like, oh, I really enjoy this grease in my mouth hole. So yeah, but KFC have taken it upon themselves to make a fucking Japanese-style dating simulator video game about Colonel Sanders. It's called, I believe it's called I Love You, Colonel Sanders, a finger-licking dating simulator. What the fuck is this? I fucking tweeted about it like 2 minutes before I started recording. I'm like, this is fucking just the most bizarre thing, the most funny thing. Dating simulators in themselves are kind of bizarre, but the fact that it's a fucking KFC tie-in, what is going on? And this isn't a joke. It's published by KFC themselves. It's on Steam. It releases like next week, I think. It's on fucking Steam, and the trailer is fucking hilarious. If you've ever seen a dating simulator and you know how they work, there's close-ups of the frickin' chicken in the bucket in the anime style. Can somebody please tell me the logic behind this game, or just somebody to laugh about it with? I'm going to stream like in like 50 minutes, and 50 minutes in total, so I need to finish this podcast before the 50 minutes because I have to set up and stream. I can't wait until I get on to stream and just laugh about that. It's so bizarre. And I tweeted about it before stream. I tweeted about it on before I started recording the podcast, and I tagged my favorite Twitter account like, yo, can you like laugh about this or make a joke about it? Because it's really fucking funny to me, and I feel like you would do a good job at making it even funnier. It's so bizarre. I love it. But that has nothing to do with today's episode. And switching gears a little bit, going from something like talking about a KFC video game, which is incredibly funny, to talking about something that's probably not funny. It's actually, I don't know if it's like a serious topic, and I don't really know if I'm in the right mindset to talk about it now, because I'm in such a funny mood with like learning about this KFC game. I want to talk about me. My personality. I don't really know if it's like a serious topic per se. I think it's more like pseudo-serious. Serious, but not really. But I want to talk about my personality. How my brain works a lot of the time. Because recently I've been doing a lot of research into how my... Not necessarily how my brain works, but how my personality works and how I can manage it better. And ever since I have researched it and started to understand it more, I've been a lot more happier, generally speaking. So I am the definition. I had to join a friend's, I didn't have to join, but I joined a friend's Discord server during the week, and one of the channels in Discord server when you joined was introduction, so introduce yourself type thing. So it asked a little bit about yourself, and I think this sums up my personality in a general sense in the best possible way. This is quote for quote, I am the definition of an ambivert. Ambivert, I think I'm mispronouncing that. That is a combination of introverted and extroverted. If you don't know, introversion is somebody who's super quiet, sort of shy, keeps to themselves. Extrovert is the opposite of that, somebody who's always outgoing and talking to people and stuff. I'm in the middle. I have a bit of both. It probably just depends on what side of the bed I wake up in the morning most of the time, really. So sometimes I'm super talkative to people, sometimes I kind of shut off, it really depends. But I also have, and this is where it kind of gets interesting, actually, before I jump the gun, being an ambivert, I still think I'm mispronouncing that, I think I'm pronouncing it right. I know how it's spelled, like I know how the word looks, I just don't know how to pronounce it. Sometimes, and I talked about this on my own Discord server once, because I have a blog on there, not to sound pretentious. I think every time I say that I have a blog, it sounds fucking pretentious as shit. But I talked about it in one of those where I was talking about being ambiverted, which again, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. wherein I went to, I used an example of when I went on a road trip. I went on a road trip back in May where I went to Belfast and Dublin within the space of a day from each other. So I went to Belfast first, went to go see WWE Live. I'm a wrestling fan, so of course. And the next day I went to Kevin Smith, the filmmaker who made Clerks and Mallrats, Chasing Amy. He also made hit movies like Cop Out. And he's probably best known for Zack and Miri Make a Porno, I would imagine, because that's like a Seth Rogen movie and people, everybody knows fucking Seth Rogen movies. Anyway, I went to see him. He does a lot of podcasts. And he always records them in front of a live audience. He always does them in the Hollywood Improv in Los Angeles. But he went on a UK tour and he came to Dublin. I went to see it in Dublin and it was very fun. So was WWE. But when I went to WWE, when I went to both, actually, I went on my own. Because I always have this mentality of, you know, if my friends don't want to go do something that I want to do, I'm not gonna go because I might have to go on my own. I'll just go on my own. It mightn't be as enjoyable on my own, but at the end of the day, I want to go to this thing, so I'm gonna go. Which kind of questions sometimes kind of friends you might have anyway. But I specifically remember when I went to WWE Live. I went to it twice now. I went to it the past 2 years. And it's weird because you're surrounded by fellow wrestling fans. So you think it would be easy to, like, I don't know, strike up a conversation with somebody. It's like, simplest question, like, who's your favorite wrestler? What match are you most looking forward to? But couldn't bring myself to do it. Also, note to anybody who has never been to a wrestling show or might want to go, if you think sitting on a floor seat, getting up close is good because, oh, the closer the better, that's a fucking lie. Because the floor seats are so uncomfortable. My back couldn't handle it. I have a bad back anyway. And being on a really uncomfortable fold-out seat didn't really help. So you're trying to enjoy the show with an incredibly sore back, which I don't know. Anyway, when I went to Kevin Smith's podcast, Hollywood Babylon, the next day, same thing, you're surrounded by fellow Kevin Smith fans, you think it might be easy to strike up a conversation. And I specifically remember when I went to that show, I was sitting beside this dude who, obviously, he was at the show, but I remember specifically having the words on the tip of my tongue to turn around to him and start talking to him about Kevin Smith, and I couldn't bring myself to do it. So sometimes it's often kind of, you know, I have that mentality of I have to push myself to go to these things because I want to go to them at the end of the day. It might be slightly hard because I'm introverted anyway. You can also throw like self-confidence and whatever into the mix for that, but the issue is it going to these types of things are always more fun when you have somebody there, and you know, if you strike up a conversation, there's a potential of becoming friends, whatever. And I can't bring myself to do that, so a lot of the time I'm enjoying myself, but I'm not enjoying myself as much as I possibly could, where I'm more confident, if that makes sense. So, yeah, that's just something I wanted to kind of bridge the gap, to kind of give you an insight into how my sort of brain works when it comes to like socializing sometimes. Just gives you a certain general idea, but that's not really what I want to talk about, because that's not really an issue. Like, for the most part, it doesn't really bother me because eventually, you know, things will get, I don't want to say things will get better because that sounds like I'm depressed. I'm not depressed. But things will get like better in that retrospect, like get better friends over time. I would say the only thing that's kind of kind of scary is because I am ambiverted, sometimes harder to talk to new people, which means it's harder to make new friends, which means if you don't have friends, you're probably going to be lonely. I do have friends, but there's always that that fear there, you know? You don't want to put all your eggs into one basket. So, like I said, that's just something that I wanted to tell you to kind of bridge the gap so you get a certain understanding of what I mean going forward. You have context for what I'm going to say. I should also say that, again, with last week's episode, still don't have notes today. I kind of woke up today in the mood of, before recording the podcast, I was like, you know, maybe I shouldn't have any notes at all. Just a topic in mind and a general way the conversation's going to go, because a lot of the time the way my brain works is I'll always have a hypothetical conversation with myself before I have an actual conversation, so I know what I'm going to say, so I don't stumble a lot of the time, at least for the most part. So when I woke up this morning, I was like, you know, I already have a general idea of where I want to bring the podcast. Should I bother writing notes? Because if I'm looking at notes, it's probably going to be inauthentic. If I don't look at notes, it's probably going to sound more natural and authentic, and me rambling for however long. But anyway, recently, like I said towards the start of the episode, I looked into and started researching my certain parts of my personality, how to manage them better and understand them more. And ever since I've been able, not even ever since I figured out how to manage them more, it's more ever since I've understood it more, I've just been more happier. I've kind of accepted it more. I'm just like, I said it on my stream, I think it was yesterday. I think I've actually said it before yesterday as well. I think it's like, basically what I was saying was, you know, anytime shit goes down now, my general reaction is just to shrug. So I'm like, eh, you know, whatever. Thing, you know, you only live once, whatever. Like, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, you know. Yeah, I don't know where I was bringing that. I don't even know where I was bringing that. I was like, my general reaction is to shrug it off and be like, oh, no, I mean, it doesn't really matter because thing, you know, it'll fix itself in time. That's not me being ignorant to things. It's more me just being sort of, that's my way of managing it more, not overthinking shit all the time. Because parts of my personality, I'm an overthinker, which, fuck that, because you get into analysis paralysis, you start to overthink every little thing, and then that always leads me to start getting paranoid. So if I'm like, if anything happens, my reaction is to overthink. So at least recently, when my reaction has been to shrug it off instead, I've been more happier. I'm not ignorant to the fact. I'm just like, well, does it really matter if it's not something that's super serious? If it's something that, you know, if it's something that's not super serious on a base level, you know, obviously there are times where thinking things over is probably a good thing. But for the most part, I mean, where I am in life, there's not a lot of situations where it is like that. And I think I can tell the difference anyway, you know. So yeah, I'm an overthinker. I have an addictive personality, which I'll get to. I'm slightly possessive, slightly obsessive, which are both parts of the addictive personality. A lot of the time, I think I mentioned my addictive personality in the last episode briefly. Did I? I don't fully remember, because I specifically remember having a conversation similar to this recently, and I think it was the last podcast. Don't quote me on that. Yeah, obviously, if you've watched that, or if you've listened to the last podcast, you will know, but I don't, because it's been a week, and I can't remember. But yeah, I have an addictive personality, so that comes down to everything in my life. When it comes to liking something, when I start to like a new thing, be it movies, games, K-pop, wrestling, rock music, what have you, G Fuel, I get obsessed with it to the point where that's all, that's not all I think about, but I think about it a lot, like a good percentage. And that's kind of me getting tunnel vision. Whenever I got into K-pop, for example, I lived and breathed it for a solid, I would say, at least a year. Just every day, looking up new stuff, you know, just getting immersed into it totally, all the time, putting a lot of focus onto it. Same with wrestling, same with movies. But after a while, I don't know if it's like ADD, ADHD, like sort of mentality. I'm not saying that I have it, but it's kind of like, I don't know if it's that sort of mentality where it's after a while where it starts to wear off. I just like lose interest in it a bit. It's weird to explain, because you go from having complete tunnel vision where it's like sort of an obsession and it's kind of possessive to the point where that's all, it's not all you're thinking about, like I said, but it's a good portion of what you're thinking about, to then a couple of months later being like, eh, I'm not really bothered anymore. It's almost like the charm has worn off to an extent, but I still like all these things. I still like wrestling, I still like K-pop, but I'm not immersed into them 24/7 anymore. It's like more of a healthy thing that I'll check out every so often. Like, I still dedicate time to them, but it's not like all the fucking time. That's probably, for the most part, all right when it comes to liking things, but when it comes to making friends or relationships or like people, then it's an issue, because it can be very annoying to that other person. I'm not naming any names. This has happened to me with more than one person. It's happened to me with multiple people. And I'm not throwing shade at them. I'm actually thanking them for it. Like I said, I get tunnel vision. That's like, I'm like, when it comes to people, it's slightly different. It's like you get tunnel vision, it's like I'm in a mindset of constantly wanting to support that person. But that other person, that might be annoying. But because I have the tunnel vision, I don't realize that I might potentially be annoying. So I've had it happen multiple times where people have come to me and been like, you know, Patrick, can you just calm down a little bit? Like, I know you mean well, but fucking hell, it's, you know, like I say, it's kind of obsessive, And I don't know, like the word obsessive kind of has a negative connotation where it's like, oh, you're obsessed with this person. It's not like that. It's more of like, I don't know, it's more like I want to constantly support this person. I kind of have this mentality where it's like, how my brain works, if I see somebody, and a lot of the time, you know, being ambivert, it's kind of hard to approach people sometimes. My mindset is sort of like, if I see somebody who I think is like incredibly fucking cool or whatever, my brain is like, instantly, the first thought is always, I want to be that person's best friend. It's just, I want to support that person all the time now. Just instantly, my brain just clicks on like, okay, let's just support this person totally, you know? I don't know if it's like, it sounds stalkery, doesn't it? It's not meant to sound stalkery. Just how my brain works for the most part. So when it comes to people that you become friends with, it can be a pain in the ass, because you mightn't realize you're being an annoying prick. Not being an annoying prick in a bad way, it's being an annoying prick in an endearing way, I guess, which is the difference between that and being a fucking stalker, I guess. But the difference is I'm smart enough to know, you know, when do you cross a boundary? When you're a fucking stalker, you don't have a boundary, but when it's like an addictive personality, like, you know, you can tell good from bad and shit. It's just kind of full. The best way to describe it in terms of being full on is constantly like messaging, you know, constantly wanting to talk to a person, you know, constantly wanting to support them and not giving, basically not giving them space in a way. And again, this is more than one person it's happened to over the years, like over time, like people have said to me before. And it wasn't until recently where I was like, you know what? I kind of want to read into this. Like, cause I noticed the pattern and I was like, okay, I was thinking about it and I was thinking, okay, is that obsessive? Is it self-sabotage? Is it excessive? Started researching into addictive personality and those traits of self-sabotage, obsessiveness, excessiveness. I say self-sabotage because it's like, it gets to a point where that person has to tell you to like cool off and it's like, oh shit, if I like, you know, if I sabotage that friendship because I've been annoying, they're probably not going to like me as much as they did. So I read into all this and generally, having researched it, I feel a lot better because I don't want to get into the specifics because I'll be here all day. I don't want to get into the specifics of what like the research said and everything. I might do another episode on that. I would need to brush up on everything that I learned from it. But essentially, I researched into like self-sabotage and how to like manage it and how to understand it. And it was like, not just self-sabotage, obsessiveness, excessiveness, ambiversion, addictive personality, all these things. I just bunched them all together in my head, researched all of them in relation to each other. And not, like I said, not to get into the specifics of how they work, but generally speaking, I feel a lot better having researched it and been able to understand it more. It was more just like a switch turned on in my head where it was just like, oh, okay, then that makes sense. Well, then, because I could get the correlation between them all and it's like, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. I believe a lot of it is from what I can remember, I think a lot of it kind of stems from fear. And a lot of it stems from, because I also took a personality test. And the personality test concluded, I can't remember the specific personality type it said it was. But one of the traits it said about my personality is that I'm a perfectionist in a lot of things, even when it comes to friendships and relationships. So a lot of the time, I will have an unrealistic sort of expectation for that other person. You know, I get tunnel vision and I don't realize that person has a fucking life, you know? You know, it's not just you. It's not even classed as like selfishness because it is tunnel vision. It's just like, I don't know. I almost feel like it's a type of innocence in a way where it's like, you don't realize it, but because I've researched all this and I understand it more, it's like, okay, I kind of understand how to back off now. And one of the, things that I had already been doing for years and didn't realize this was a trait, but I treated this trait as a negative thing because I thought it was me being abrasive, but it's actually not. It's actually a good way to give people space. Is to not always start the conversation yourself. So if it means that you have to wait like periods of time until that person messages you first, then it's not a bad thing because they're giving you space. One of the things I read was like, one of the things I remember reading was, what was it? It was, don't always start the conversation because it's smothering and you're not giving that person space. Wait for them to like contact you first and for them to make plans with you. It could take days, could take weeks, could take months, but the thing is, if they message you in the first place, then it matters. I used to do this for years and didn't realize I was doing it. The issue that I treated it as a negative thing because my brain was like, I'm always messaging these people first. They never messaged me. So I got to a point where I was like, I'm just going to stop messaging these people. And if they never message me back, then they're not my friend. That was the way I treated it. I treated it as like a negative thing. But it's actually kind of a good thing, because like, if that other person never messages me back, then that's kind of a good thing, because then you know that they're not your friend, right? You know, they message you back, then obviously they're a friend at the end of the day. So yeah, that's all I really have to say about it all. Like, generally, like I said, I was going down this weird, like, for years, on and off. It kind of depends how much people, like, come in and out of your life, like, generally. But just as a general whole, I had this, like, tunnel vision when it comes to everything. One of the things I used to always find when it would come to me wanting to be productive and make a daily routine is that I would always find a daily routine, like doing the same thing every day, to be super limiting in terms of, oh, I'm only allowing myself this amount of time to do this thing, but what if I feel like doing this thing before that other thing? And then after a while, I would just stop doing the routine and go back to the way it was before. And then I would feel bad because, oh, I'm not as productive because I don't have a daily routine. I think that's kind of reflected in the way my personality is, where it's like, I want everything to be open, and I want everything to be open-ended, but when it comes to everything, I had tunnel vision anyway, but didn't realize it, like, in a different way. There were, like, two things that were the same, but they weren't meshing, and they were conflicting with each other, which is weird. And I got to a point recently where I was like, you know what, I don't really care about daily routines, you know, if I need to do something, I'll just write a to-do list to do over a certain amount of time. As long as I get the to-do list done eventually, you know, within a certain amount of days. Like, if I have a to-do list with, like, 6 things on it, and I'm like, okay, I'll give myself 6 days to do this to-do list. If I do it before the 6 days, then it's even better. Like, it's still keeping you productive, but in a more realistic way, in terms of how my personality works. Yeah, generally, overall, when I start, after I'd researched everything and began to understand it, I felt a lot happier because, like I said, it was like something clicked, and all of a sudden, my brain didn't feel like it had that tunnel vision at all anymore, and then I instantly felt happier, and everything started just to feel more open-ended, which is weird. It's a weird feeling to go from having, like, that tunnel vision mentality for so long to just instantly being like, oh, now it's the complete opposite. But, yeah, I would recommend it to anybody that thinks that, you know, whatever. But don't go self-diagnosing yourself with anything. Don't do what I did. It worked for me, so I don't fucking know where I'm going with this. I would say if it's something medical, don't self-diagnose it. This isn't medical. It's just something where I was like, I wonder, is this thing in relation to this thing? And then I started being, you know, it was to an extent. So yeah, I think I'll leave it there. I believe I've been recording for close to 40 minutes, which, I don't know, how much did I ramble? Let me know, if you're ever in, I believe you can send voice messages on Anchor, because the podcast is on Anchor, iTunes, and Spotify, but, I believe you can send messages on Anchor, but what I would say is, I believe they're voice messages too, what I would say is, if you want to give me some feedback for the podcast, just to jump into my stream whenever I'm streaming and let me know what you think. The one thing I want to know is, how is the structure? Is it rambly? I felt like today's episode specifically was very rambly, because I was kind of jumping back and forth between things, like talking about, hey, I have an addictive personality. It was fucking annoying. It was affecting friendships. But here's how I fixed it, and here's the end result from comparing before and after. Like, before I wasn't as happy because of tunnel vision, and now I'm happier because I feel more open-ended. And it's weird because it's a weird feeling open-ended, because I already felt open-minded anyway about things. I felt open-minded about things, but I didn't feel open-minded about myself. I think that's the best way to put it. So yeah, if you want to give me some feedback on the podcast, make sure to jump in on the Twitch stream, paddy_duck on Twitch, whenever I'm live. Just let me know what you think about the podcast if you're interested, if that's your thing. But I'm going to leave it there. I'll be back this time next week, I believe. Not this time, next week. 2 p.m. UK time next week. With another episode of the podcast. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about next week. Like I said, the life transition episode is still something that's on the table. I'm just not sure when I'll get around to it. Hopefully I could do it next week, but it depends. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it there. So, Bubble Talk is available on Anchor, iTunes, and Spotify. And I remembered how I ended the podcast. I literally ended the podcast last week. And as soon as I stopped recording, I was like, oh yeah, that's how I end the podcast. How I end the podcast is, Babble Talk is available on Anchor, iTunes, and Spotify, and I will see you when I see you. See? That's why I end the podcast.